I'm Meg Dahl, your Unbreakable host. Welcome to the show. Happy June! I am so excited for this new month. June is actually my favorite month of the entire year. It is my birthday month, so that's super exciting. And also, today's episode is very, very exciting. We actually have our first male guest joining us today. So I am so excited for this episode to start and you guys to listen. Our first male guest is no one other than my very good friend, Jimmy Moore. He has been a very, very good friend of mine for the past few years. And I knew I had to have him join me here on the show sooner than later. And just a couple of weeks ago when I was on the low carb cruise, of course, I was able to spend time with Jimmy and have such a great time with him and great conversation. So when we got back, we recorded this episode. And like I said, I'm just so excited for you to listen to it. For those of you who are familiar with Jimmy's work, you'll know him for his work within the keto community. So most often when Jimmy is podcasting or being interviewed on different podcasts, he is talking about the ketogenic diet or fasting. So what I love about today's episode is that we actually have Jimmy joining us to talk about something other than the ketogenic diet or fasting. We have him joining us to chat about another one of his favorite topics, and that just happens to be self-love. So this is one thing that Jimmy and I definitely have in common. We see the importance of self-love, and we are dedicated to educating others on the importance of loving yourself and how it is a key piece to your health journey and just achieving true health. So Jimmy has an incredible health journey. He shares that with us today, but he also shares the internal work that he has had to do in order to get to where he is today. We talk a lot about forgiveness, and I just absolutely love that topic, and I am so grateful that Jimmy opened up and shared so much value with us in this episode. So there's a lot of juiciness, there's a lot of great takeaways, and I am really just so proud of Jimmy being a male and really being vocal within our community and sharing his experience and his journey and his knowledge on this topic. And I just really am so grateful that he is here with us today and sharing his passion with us and his story. And I know it's not easy to be super open and vulnerable around this topic, but he is, and I think it's awesome. You guys are going to love this episode. But before we begin, I know you've also been loving last week's episode with Ashley Pardo. As I mentioned, it's definitely one of my favorite episodes. So if you're catching up on the show and you missed last week's episode, definitely go back because it seems to be a favorite as of right now. So go back, listen to last week's episode, but do not miss this one. Let's get to my interview with Jimmy Moore. Jimmy, I am so excited to finally have you on the show with me. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, what's up, Meg?
Not too much. Just hanging out and so excited to spend some time with you right now.
Yeah, we've been friends for a very long time, so I'm actually very happy to be on the show and talk some things that I don't get to talk about on other people's shows. So let's get deep.
Yeah, I am ready to get deep, and that is exactly what I want this episode to be about today with you, is talking about the things that you normally don't talk about. So I know you talk a lot about keto and fasting and biohacking and all that fun stuff, and it's great to listen to you talk about those topics, but I really want to talk about something that you and I have in common big time, and that is the journey of loving ourselves and the journey that happened before that when we really didn't love ourselves and kind of all of this stuff in between. So why don't you share some background with us for those who might not know where you come from?
Sure. So as it relates to the subject you just described, I was always the fat kid growing up. And so anybody that's been ostracized for whatever, their weight, whether it's overweight, underweight, they've got a pimple on their nose, they got freckles on their body, whatever, you know, we all kind of have those kind of stories in our history. If you've been ostracized, you know what it feels like. And so it's very isolating. It's very disturbing when you put it, you know, in blunt terms. And so that's kind of where I started eating to cope. You know, some people turn to drugs, some people turn to alcohol. A lot of people turn to that drug known as food, and not just any food, but sugar, and what I like to call crappy garbage. And so for me, that was kind of the beginning of me packing on pounds when I was very young. And it continued into adulthood until I finally was able to figure out some of the diet piece. I still deal with some of the ramifications of all those years of poor eating, but I'm certainly in a lot better place today because of the self-love and because of good nutrition and just making those choices that are a lot better for me now than they were way back then.
Yeah. So I think the turning point to all of this is really huge. And I want you to share that with us is, you know, when did you make that realization that you were turning to food as like an emotional comfort?
Yeah, I think the realization actually happened many years before I actually made the change. And this is a good lesson for people of, okay, you figure it out, but then you're kind of left flailing for a few years trying to, okay, now I have this knowledge that that's what I'm doing. What do I do about it? Because Meg, I think sometimes people get so caught up in, all right, I know this, but I don't know any other way. I don't know what's going to work for me. You know, you turn to conventional wisdom and they say, just cut your calories and cut your fat and do this and do that. And then people start doing that and it doesn't work. And they go, okay, what's wrong? And I think at some point, a lot of people just say, well, screw it. I'm just not going to do anything. And then they go downhill really fast that way. So for me, that wasn't an option. I was going to find what was going to work for me. And by fortuitous circumstances of getting a diet book for Christmas from my mother-in-law, I was able to find a diet that initially helped me lose weight, but more importantly, helped me get healthy. And so that's what I live by today.
Yeah. So that diet change for you, was your main goal there for health and really freeing yourself of this emotional eating?
Are you talking about initially or eventually?
Initially, like where?
Initially, it was weight loss. Okay. I was 410 pounds.
Yeah.
Was wearing bigger pants than I had ever had in my entire life. And I was in a very bad place, as you know. And so I did not want to be there anymore. And of course, conventional wisdom tells us that your health is your weight and your weight is your health. And so I kind of equated the two in the process of losing weight in 2004. And so after I lost the weight and was starting to feel better, you know, a light came on the head that said, well, wait a minute, you just came off of three prescription medications for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and breathing issues, and you are feeling more energetic. You've got a vibrance, your brain health is back, your mood is stabilized, all of these good things have happened. And oh yeah, by the way, you lost some weight. But to me, it just really struck me one day after I'd already been successful losing weight, it struck me, whoa, there was so much more to this than just the weight loss. It was really all the health gains that really, I guess, would be the lasting legacy of this change. And so for me, I've now tried to put that focus on there because people still want the weight loss. And I understand that. I've been there. I know the mentality. But if I can articulate one thing for the rest of my life, and that is forget about your weight loss, focus on your health, and you get this great side effect known as weight loss if you get healthy.
So focusing on the health was huge for you. And I think that is such an important piece for everyone's health journey, as you said. But I want to talk about the self-love piece. When did all of this start coming into play?
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, I could go in so many directions with this story. So I grew up a child of the 1980s, and I have from a split family. My mom and dad divorced when I was very young, and so they both remarried. And of course, you know, this is something that when you look at it in hindsight, you're like, oh, now it all makes sense. But when you're a kid and you're in the midst of it, that's just what you know, and that's what you're kind of exposed to. So for me, you know, I had an abusive father who would beat me, and I never understood what that was all about. And I always questioned, okay, what did I do? What's wrong with me? That was probably a little bit of what drove me to food as well. And so I had those kinds of things going on, and it was this kind of fear looking over my shoulder through most of my 20s that I also was, you know, still kind of in that mentality of, you know, is he going to find me? Is he, you know, so it was kind of fear. And at one point in my late 20s, I was able to go, you know what? This is silly. I'm an adult now. I don't have those fears anymore. And I really just need to embrace the man that God made me to be. And so I did that. And it was such a freeing experience. I think for the very first time in my life, I actually knew what it felt like to love myself, because I never did love myself and never did kind of embrace that message of, I'm worth it. I'm worthy. I have value in this world, because I was always kind of told in no uncertain terms I had no value. In fact, one time my dad said this to me, you will never turn out to be worth anything.
Wow.
And that was devastating. And he really did say that. And people, oh, he didn't say that. Yeah, he really did say that. I think he regrets it now, especially with all the success that I've had. But and maybe it motivated me to become the success that I've become. So it's kind of that double-edged sword of, man, it sucked in the moment, but look what's happened.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you actually did use some of his words as motivation. So
oh, you know me. I'm very competitive. You tell me I can't do something, I'm going to prove you, even if it kills me, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely do know that about you for sure. So two questions I have for you. From that story that you just shared, you talked about, you know, never being able to embrace yourself and just always feeling very, you know, almost like ashamed of yourself and not loving yourself, right? And then you came to this realization that you were ready to embrace. And I've never spoke with anyone that has told me that it's been an overnight thing. So what did that embracing process look like for you? Because I know so many people listening right now want to embrace themselves, but are having a really difficult time with that journey.
You know what we got to do? We got to get out of our own head. I think that was the thing. I used to be in my own head, and I would psych myself out, and I would just be always worried and always. You know what it is? You know, we talk about this word forgiveness, and I'm a Christian, and so I'm very attuned to what that means from that perspective. that I think the moment that we give forgiveness to the most important person in your life, and that's you listening right now, that's you. You're the most important person in your life. And the people around you can support you. But at the end of the day, you are you, and you have to get out of your own head. You have to learn to forgive yourself. And that's hard, Meg. You know that you have all this negative self-talk that you say in your head to yourself all the time. I did it. Christine, my wife, did it. You've done it. Everybody's done it. So it's nothing to be ashamed of if you said ugly things about yourself. But I want you to be edified today, knowing that, hey, you are worth it. You are worthy. You should be your own best advocate for yourself. And that's why I'm such a huge fan of the whole self-love movement that you're a part of, a major part of. And I feel like I'm a part of now as well, is don't let what you think about yourself dictate who you are, because who you are is who you are deep down inside, and who you are deep down inside has nothing about self-loathing about it, has nothing about hatred for yourself. You are an amazing creation, and you are worth every bit of the love and adoration that you can give yourself. Now, that sounds kind of weird, sounds kind of vain when you think of it in those terms, but think of yourself like you think of your best friend. So think of that friend that you just know and love and adore, and you would go to the ends of the world for. That's you. I want you to be as loving to that person. Yes, it's you, but I want you to treat them as if yourself is your best friend. Would you ever tell your best friend all the things you tell yourself? I think not.
No.
No.
We talk so rude and hateful to ourselves. So this is really good stuff. And you know that with all of the work that I do within the self-love community, my focus is really like step one is changing the way we speak to ourselves and being really aware of the dialogue going on within our minds. Now,
and you don't even have to verbalize it. If it's happening in your head, you're talking to yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm so happy that we're talking about this right now. This topic gets me so fired up. But another thing that I want to go back on is, okay, so you grew up speaking very negatively to yourself, but you also had someone on the outside speaking very negatively towards you and saying very hateful things.
Now, and you begin to believe it. That's right.
Exactly. So how did you begin to like unlearn those things that were coming from outside influences as well?
Wow, that's a great question. So I think it's just time heals. You know, we've heard that for a long time. Time heals. Well, I lost my brother Kevin 10 years ago, and time has healed some, but I still hurt. And time has healed since all of this happened when I was a kid, but it still hurts. And even thinking back to the different things, I was just talking with Christine yesterday about something else that happened in childhood, and it was just, it was a devastating thing. And while I've forgiven, it's almost impossible for your brain to stop like thinking about those things from time to time. But here's the thing. I don't dwell on it anymore. Okay. It happened. It's a part of who and what I am. And I don't ever want to change the Jimmy Moore that I am in 2018, because it's all those experiences, good, bad, and ugly, that happened in my past that formed the man that you know today. And I wouldn't be the same person had I not gone through those experiences. Would I have preferred not to have gone through them? Sure. But we can't go in the time machine, at least not yet. And until that happens, we just need to learn to deal with it. And I think once you come to that realization that there's really nothing you can do to change the past, but you can profoundly change the future, it changes your entire perspective about how those events shaped you and who you are today.
That's so great. And now I want to ask you about forgiving others, because we talked about forgiving ourselves for those hateful words we say within our own minds. But when it comes to those people on the outside saying all the hateful things to us, was forgiveness part of your practice as well?
Oh, it has to be. Mm-hmm. If you don't have forgiveness, then you can truly never experience love. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe when you come from a place of really heavy ugliness in your past, like my dad beating me like he did, and you don't at some point offer that forgiveness to the person that harmed you, you're only robbing yourself. And people think, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. It's not about them. At the end of the day, yes, that's a good thing to do to kind of release them and free them from that. Maybe they were feeling that they were like burdened by this all these years. Oh my gosh, I hope they forgive me. And they're waiting for you to forgive them. And so as soon as you forgive them, you lift the burden off of them. But here's the sneaky little secret to forgiveness. You lift the burden off yourself. And you stop beating yourself up. And maybe perhaps for the first time in your entire life, you can love yourself because this thing that's been blocking you from loving yourself has been lifted and it's gone and the floodgates open. And that's what happened for me in my early 30s was I forgived my dad. And for the first time in my entire life, he told me he loved me. Wow. And that had never happened.
Wow. So this is actually like a verbal forgiveness to your father. You approached him and you told him that you forgave him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think someone could experience the same type of healing and, you know, progression on their journey to self-love and self-acceptance if it was more of like an internal forgiveness? Or do you think it's important that people actually approach the person that they need to forgive?
You know, that's a really, really good question because people are like, well, I'll just forgive them. I'll just never tell them. Okay. Meg, I love you, but I'll never tell you I love you. Do you feel the love from me?
Absolutely.
No, you don't. And so you kind of have to verbalize. And see, here's the other thing verbalizing does. It makes it real because until it's real in your heart, and of course, if someone dies before you're able to give them forgiveness, I still think you can forgive them in your heart and they hear that. But that's an extenuating circumstance. Most of the people who have wronged us in our life that we need to offer forgiveness to, they're still around. So if you're thinking about that, in fact, stop where you are right now. If you're listening to this, think about that person or persons who have wronged you in your life that's preventing you from loving yourself and being the you you're supposed to be. All right. Write those names down. And within the next week, you need to make it right. And if you can meet them in person and tell them this in person, that's best. If you can only do it by phone or Skype or Zoom or however you communicate with people these days, we have all this technology that you can talk to people and do it. And it's going to seem weird because you always kind of have this fear of, well, how are they going to take it? Will they overreact and go, well, I didn't do anything? Or will they say, you know what? Thank God, I've been hoping you would forgive me all of these years. So I think it's that great fear that prevents people from doing it, but everything will get amazingly better. Your life will probably move forward for the first time. And in fact, it was right after this, Meg, that I did that with my dad, that I started losing weight and started getting healthy and things started looking up for me in so many ways in my life.
Well, you were probably holding on to so much emotional stress and it was like emotional weight that you were holding on to, right? I am so happy that I asked that question because your answer was awesome and I wasn't even expecting something.
Ask me anything. You know I'm game. So.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm curious, you know, we hear majority of like the self-love chat and conversation in a community of women. So like, what are you doing today to kind of change that? Because my mission is to educate everyone that self-love isn't optional, but it's also not fluffy. And it's not just for, you know, females. It's something that males need to take very seriously as well.
Well, and it's kind of woo-woo if you stop and think about it. Ooh, self-love. And so I can see the hesitation, especially from the male population. Oh, what do I need that for? Of course, I love myself, bro. So, I mean, I think it's just a cultural thing that women tend to be more in touch with their feelings than guys. But, you know me, I'm pretty emotional as well. And so I think at the end of the day, you paint it as, you know what? We all have hurt. We all have things that we need help from. And sometimes guys are the last ones to, I guess, turn to themselves and try to, you know, we like to fix all the problems in our ladies' lives, but we don't like fixing our own problems in our own life. And so, yeah, I'm trying to change the perception of it's not this touchy-feely thing that, you know, it's not unmasculine to be in the midst of self-love. I think self-love is a human experience, not along lines of delineation of gender.
Right. And we all deserve true health. And I truly believe that, you know, this is that starting point, but most people come to it at the end, right? Like they'll go through their health journey and still realize that there's like a missing piece. And I've heard it from so many people that it wasn't until they, you know, really embarked or embraced this aspect of self-love that they actually truly healed. But we know that self-love isn't a destination. So I know there's still struggles within your life today. You still deal with hateful comments, but you're in a different mindset. So can we talk about that? Because
about the haters?
Yeah, I think it's huge to bring light to that conversation.
You know what's interesting about the haters I get today? And of course, it's just the sign of the times when you get insta-famous these days. And anybody that spent any time online and gotten some modicum of success with a few thousand followers on social media, you're going to get people that will just be naysayers just for naysayers' sake. And, you know, in a strange way, Meg, I think some of the struggles from the past prepared me for that. And so I don't really get too uptight about someone telling me I'm fat these days or telling me I'm this or I don't deserve the success I've had and all these things. I don't let that get me down because I used to have my head smashed against a wall. Mm-hmm. That's not happening anymore. And so physically, I'm not getting the negative effects of what I had to deal with when I was a kid. Now it's words. And it sounds kind of juvenile, but sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They really don't hurt me. I've learned to deal with them a little more. And some of that is my maleness, and males don't really let these things bother them as much as females. Now, Christine, on the other hand, my wife, Christine, she will just get upset, especially when someone says something about me. And, you know, I've come to the realization that most of those people who make those comments, they themselves are hurting. They themselves don't have love for themselves. And so how can I lash back at them out of character, by the way? I would not normally lash out at someone in real life if they said something. I would just close the door and move on with my life. But these people are hurting. And I think when you put it in the context of that might be the motivation behind why they're saying what they're saying, and the ugliness that they're sharing is displaced anger. It's not anything to do with you. And when you realize it doesn't have anything to do with you, it helps you handle it a lot better because it's not about me. It's about them.
Right. That definitely helps us move on from things. So I love what you said that, you know, our past really gives us this strength to deal with some of the terrible things that we have to deal with today.
Yep.
But I mean, I will be completely honest. There will be some things that will affect me. And I'm like, why is this affecting me right now? You know, usually like a comment doesn't really, you know, hit me that hard. Do you ever have those days where it just comes out of left field and you're like, wow, this is actually like, you know, sitting with me right now? Does that ever happen to you?
You know, at this point in my career, I've been online now for about 14, 15 years doing the nutrition thing. And so, and prominently so probably the last 6 to 8 years. And so there's really nothing anybody could say I haven't already heard in every incarnation you could possibly think of. So it's almost like, okay, the familiarity of it all makes it a lot easier, because it's like I almost dare someone to creatively insult me now, because I've been insulted in every which way but loose. But to answer your question, yes, there are moments and days when you're a little bit more tired, your guard is down a little bit, and then you see something like that. And it used to get me hard in the early days of doing this, because I'm like, look, I'm out here, I don't make any money. I'm just trying to educate people and inspire them and encourage them. And I'm getting someone that hates me. But the thing that I've learned over the years is that when I get something like that, I always get 10 to 20 fold more responses from people that are so incredibly overwhelmingly positive and encouraging, and you changed my life and I'll never be the same because I read Keto Clarity, and I get those kinds of things. And reminding myself that that's the vast majority of the people who follow me is that person. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to be rah-rah support, but if you follow me and you get benefit out of my work, and a lot of people do, they let me know that. That means a few people along the way are kind of turd balls. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there will always be turd balls along the way. Right. Yes. Yeah. So that's great, Jimmy. So we talked about changing the way we speak to ourselves and forgiveness and embracing. I really love those three tools that my listeners can take away with them. Was there anything else that is like super huge throughout the journey of helping you get to where you are today in this place of really loving yourself? Because I mean, I spend time with you and I know you love yourself, and it's obvious, you know, for someone that does receive very hurtful comments and you stay strong, there's got to be more tools within that tool belt of yours.
You know what really gives me satisfaction, and does allow me to spread the love, not just to myself, but to others. And that is, I take great joy in helping other people who are on this journey. And of course, it always starts off as someone writes to me and, hey, can you help me understand my cholesterol numbers? Can you help me lose weight? Can you help me optimize my ketogenic diet? And so, yes. And so I give that help. That immediately shows someone out there, wow, this person really cares. And so that's step one. Then I've got people that are in the realm of wanting to do a podcast or wanting to kind of be out there in a bigger way. And of course, they see me as a mentor. And so I'm more than happy to step alongside and help and lift up and encourage and give practical advice, as well as, you know, offer to come on their shows and do whatever I can to help lift them up. And that's one thing I've really put an emphasis on in the past few years is, what can I do? Because I've been given this great privilege of an amazing platform to reach so many people. How can I pull other people up? How can I pay it forward? I didn't have any of that kind of help when I first started. And had I had that help, I think I could have been more successful even quicker. But that being said, I'm glad for the journey that I had, because now that I am in a place where I can help people, that's so satisfying to me. And of course, at conferences, I'm hugging every neck that I can possibly find. That's just a part of who I am. It's the DNA of Jimmy Moore that people know. And it will always be, by the way, my DNA. So I think giving to others, pouring into others, it actually gives me great pleasure and satisfaction knowing that I'm helping other people maybe reach their dreams. And in the process, I feel like I'm kind of building somewhat of the legacy that I'm leaving behind in this world, that someday they'll look back and go, wow, we were a better world because of that man.
Mm-hmm. That is so great. And I've always said from day one, like when I first met you, I've always said you are the most generous person I have ever met. So I love that aspect is part of your self-love journey and what keeps you going today. I love that. So now that you are talking more and more about self-love, Jimmy, Are you finding, are men approaching you about this topic? Are men reaching out?
Honestly, no. And I think it's still a little bit taboo. And I'm hoping that once you and I get our book out there, that maybe that would open the door for the opportunity for it to not just be a female thing, but to be a human being thing. And so it's going to take time. You know, as with any kind of paradigm shift, it takes time. We are overcoming a lot of cultural norms, societal norms. You know, guys don't get in touch with their feelings because it's not macho, quote unquote. And so I think we're dealing with a lot of that kind of thing. But as of yet, I have not been approached by other men per se wanting to kind of pursue this. But I'm here when they're ready.
Yeah, well, I am so excited for that day to come. And I know it will happen because we are in a shift right now. And I think just the more you and I talk about self-love and educate people on it, both from like a male perspective and a female perspective, that we will make that change that we want to see. So do you think the journey is much different for men versus women?
Again, trying to overcome those societal norms of what a man should be. You know, a man's not supposed to be in touch with his feelings. And so if you express those even to yourself, and this is important because it's one thing to express it to another person and that being weird, but you try to tell a man, I just love yourself. And it's kind of, it's different. So for a woman, it would be extremely easy because you're always around your friends, you're always complimenting each other. And of course you get past kind of the barriers to loving yourself. And it can be easy to have that self-talk in a positive way once you get your head right around it. But for a guy, we internalize a lot of things and a lot of guys don't articulate it even to themselves. And that's, I don't think if you ask most guys, you know, do you love yourself? Most people would probably go, yeah. Most of the guys in my life would say, yeah. Very few of them would open up and go, well, you know, I'm having trouble with X, Y, Z. No, we're just not going to do that. And so I don't even think it's on the radar screen of a lot of guys that they're not self-loving. And so I think you have to identify, okay, if you're dealing with this, then maybe you are someone who's not in a position where you're self, you know, showing yourself self-love. So I think that's the biggest hurdle for guys is they're oblivious. They have no idea that they need self-love and they don't realize that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now I have to share that I have actually been approached by a handful of males throughout the past several years that I've been on social media and speaking about my journey throughout eating disorders and also self-love. I have been approached by males and them confiding in me, telling me that, you know, they need my support. And it seems like those men too have turned to food as like a emotional support, whether it is, you know, indulging in food or restricting it. So it seems very common that within, well, just as it is within like the female culture, that we really do use food as a coping mechanism, whether that be, like I said, turning to it or running away from it.
Right.
Very common. So I would love for you to share how your wife, Christine, has played a role in your self-love journey. I would love to know.
Oh, I think anybody that has a special someone in their life, they're always the one that is the great support. And if you don't have that support, it's extremely difficult. And I'll even tell you a story before I get to Christine. So I'll tell you a story about my mom. She went keto in January last year, had gastric bypass and lost a lot of weight, but then gained it back. She had a series of really bad health things happen to her. First meningitis after she got bit by a bug that gave it to her. And then the meningitis turned into this really horrible condition called myasthenia gravis, which she's now on very high dose steroids for and will probably have to take for the rest of her life. And so here she goes keto last year, and my stepdad didn't like it at all. And in fact, he would like yell at her for cooking some almond flour, something that she was trying to make because he didn't like the smell of it. And so if you don't have a good support system, it's extraordinarily difficult not just to do a diet, but just to kind of live your life and to have that reinforcement of that you are worth it and you should be self-loved. So for Christine, I mean, I think for me in 2004, she had really harped for many years before that I do something. And so, you know, her support was just so valuable when she finally let me be me and figure out this stuff on my own. You know, and she was right there supportive all along the way. And then she started having some health issues as well with triglycerides, kind of wackadoodle. And so I was able to turn it back around on her. And so, yeah, we've just been kind of the Jane to each other's John to Jane kind of thing, and two peas in a pod. So yeah, I think if you've got a special someone in your life, and you know this with Scott, you know, you've got to have that person to be right there by your side all along the way. And it really does make a difference. And if you're unequally yoked, so to speak, it can make it extraordinarily difficult. And that added stress is just no good.
Yes, yes. And I think it's so important that when you are having those challenging days, or, you know, maybe your mind's a little more busy, like I like to call it, you know, you're having a little more chatter in your mind. It's so important to let those people know so they know that you're, you know, in a day of kind of struggling and you might need some extra support. So,
and I go back to something for a second because it just popped in my head. And I think this is important in handling the haters.
Please, please do.
Be okay with delete, block. You have to be okay with that. Because people are like, well, they have a right to say what they want to say. And the way I respond to people is, look, let's just imagine this played out in real life. Someone knocks on your door, or better yet, they kick in your front door. They come into your house yelling and screaming at you and screaming every obscenity and how horrible a person you are. Are you going to just say, okay, well, thank you? No, you're going to take your shotgun out. You're going to point it at them and say, get the hell out of my house. And you're going to kick them off your property and probably call the police and get a restraining order so they never do that again. So look at block, delete as your restraining order against these people who are encroaching on your private property, which is what your Facebook page, your Instagram page, all that is. So don't allow that negativity to get into your life. And I've had whole Facebook pages and blogs made just to be an anti-Jimmy Moore hate page, so to speak. And I've just learned to just tune those out. Now, the problem is sometimes somebody will tag me on one of those pages. And of course, I'm not seeing that it's one of those. And I get there and I'm exposed to it. So it's a little bit hard when that happens. But you just kind of refocus and go, all right, they're still doing their thing. Great. I'm going to keep doing my thing. And I think if you focus on the positive stuff that you're doing and not dwell on the negative stuff, then you'll be around for many years to come.
Oh, yeah. I have those forums as well, Jimmy, and a friend actually.
Congratulations. You've made it, Meg.
I know, right? They've actually been around for years. And
yes.
A friend recently contacted me about it and she had no idea they existed. And I just said to her, you know, can you please do me a favor and not look at it? Because it's such a waste of time and it's just fueling those people's behaviors, right?
And here's the thing. Sometimes when I end up on the page, I go, okay, have they grown? And they're not. It's the same like 2,000 people that just talk to themselves over and over and over again. And they're kind of the self-hate peanut gallery. That's how I have to kind of think of it, is these are people who desperately need self-love. And they would rather choose to wallow in the self-hate. I'm not about self-hate. I'm about self-love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And similar to what you said at the beginning of this episode is we just need to forgive them. But also I feel like sending them, you know, love and just praying for them that they can get the healing that they need. That's huge for me. When I'm like hurt by someone, I just try to pray for the other person that hurt me, because I do find that super healing on my part.
And here's the thing. I'm here for them. if they choose to come back. And that's something that a lot of them don't even realize, that if they ever needed help, I'm here. And I've actually had a couple of people that used to be really not a part of those groups, but they used to kind of not be supportive. And I've had some mea culpas in the past couple of years going, wow, all these years later, I'm really reconnecting to your work. And wow, you were right all along, and I'm sorry. And so I did get a little bit of the forgiveness from some people. And that's always cool to see that, you know, we all go through things in our life, and you never know where someone is in their life, what their history is, whether they were beat as a kid like I was. You know, if you meet me today, you wouldn't know that unless I told you like I did today, because I don't let my past dictate who I am today anymore. I did for a few years there in my 20s, but not anymore. And I think we're all in this journey, and we're all going to figure it out someday, hopefully before the day you die. You figure it out and go, oh, what did I waste so many years on all that negative energy when I could have been exuding positive energy instead?
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you brought that up too. I know you know this, but just a few days ago, I posted to Instagram like a quote, and it said, they don't know your story, or you don't know their story. Right. And that's something I also always remind myself whenever I am being judged by someone. It's no one knows who you are. You are the only person who truly knows who you are, what you've been through, and you know what you've done to get to where you are today. So you just need to hold on tight to that for sure.
You're here.
So two more questions before we wrap up this episode, Jimmy.
Just two more?
Yeah. I would.
Let's make it three. Go.
Okay. I would. I'm sure it will turn into three, but I would love to know what like a daily self-love practice looks like for you. So how does self-love show up in your everyday life?
You know, what's funny is when you don't have to think about it,
yes,
it's taken a hold. And I think sometimes people are like, well, what do I wake up and go and look in the mirror and go, wow, you are so amazing. How cool are you? Oh, baby, come here. You know, no, that's not what self-love is. You just kind of live it. And I think when you have this positive mentality going about you, and you go through your day-to-day life, and you start to get a fleeting thought, it's at that moment that when you recognize you're getting one of those thoughts, and you immediately smash it down and go, nope, not believing that today. Sorry, it's not going to happen. Not in my house, not in my head. And so I think it's in the moment by moment, the day by day. And we all know when those things happen, you're going about your day, and then suddenly you have something pop in your head that you go, ah, crap. So, why am I thinking about that right now? And sometimes it's very inopportune times. It's usually for me when I'm in a little bit of downtime. I do a lot of podcasts and a lot of book writing. And so I'm always kind of thinking in those rounds. But when I have some downtime is when those thoughts can pop up. And I think when you can get to the point where you recognize exactly when that happens and deal with it right away, that is the ultimate of knowing that you've embraced this self-love message, and you realize you're not going to allow anything to taint the good that's going on in your life. So let's imagine this. Let's just say you have a glass of water. I'm looking at a bottle of water now, so it just popped in my head. A glass of water, and you decide to put some kind of something in it. Okay, you just tainted that pristine water. So that something you put in it, beet juice or whatever you put in it. That's a bad example because that's probably good for you, but whatever, just something that would taint it. And you wouldn't drink that water, would you? And yeah, that's exactly what we're doing when we allow the negative to come into our head and then we dwell on it and drink from it. Don't drink that water. Dump that water out. Get rid of it. Put fresh water in, and then you've got clean, pristine water again. And I want you to think of those negative thoughts as tainting your water. Don't taint that water. Drink from the clean water, and you'll be happy.
Again, I am so happy that I asked that question, because it's really just like a fluid motion once you have really embraced self-love. So that is awesome, Jimmy. And now the way I wrap up each of my podcasts. I always want to
sing and dance. Oh, what?
Hey, I'm not opposed to that. No, I want to know what being unbreakable means to you.
Yeah, you asked me that one time before, and I was like, ooh, that's a great ending question. What does unbreakable mean to me? It means I can bend when need be, but it also means that I'm strong enough. I have enough tensile strength that if you try to push me beyond what I can handle, it won't break. And I've kind of grown that over the years. So, you know, it's almost like the, who was that in the Fantastic Four, Christine, the Plastic Man? What was the Elastic Man? And so you could make him stretch to the ends of the world, but he never broke. And so for me, that's what that means. And because I've learned that a lot of the things that are hurled towards me and said about me and done to me by other people, that they really don't matter at the end of the day. Can they hurt in the moment? Sure. Will they have a lasting impact? Nope. I'm going to bounce right back to the original of the Elastic Man. It's a belabored example, but you get what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, that is beautiful. I was waiting for you to keep going because it was just so good. And I was kind of painting this picture in my head. So what a great way to...
You can see me stretching out to the ends of the world.
Yeah, and I think it would, you know, allow everyone else to kind of see themselves in that way and like aspire to be like that. So thank you so much, Jimmy. And I know people, if they aren't already following along with you, where can they find you? And, you know, you have so many podcasts. I want you to share those with us right now.
Sure. So the easiest way to find me is liveinlavitalowcarb.com. So yes, I was a Ricky Martin fan back in the day, and no, he's not relevant anymore. I'm just kidding. So yeah, that's the easiest way to find me. You can Google my name, Jimmy Moore. First, like 2-3 pages is all my stuff. And yes, I do 5 podcasts a week on 4 different shows. So Mondays, Christine, my wife, and I do a show called Nutritional Pearls Podcast, all about like the things she learned through nutritional therapy. She is an NTP. Tuesday, Wednesday is my flagship show, the Live and La Vida Low Carb Show. Thursday, Keto Talk. If you're all about ketogenic diets, we answer questions about that. And Friday, the Keto Hacking MD podcast, which is about the biohacking with keto. So yes, I keep my fingers in lots of different pots all the time. Real excited to be writing lots of books. I have 5 new books coming over the next year and a half, including the one with you, Keto Freedom. So excited to do that.
I am equally as excited. I am so pumped to get that out into the world. So you and I will be together a lot more in the future promoting your book. So definitely looking forward to that. But I just thank you again for joining me today, Jimmy. This was an awesome conversation, and I know everyone is going to love it.
Thank you, Meg.